find the scripture tonight in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. To be honest, this evening I thought that we'd be preaching on the book and the blood and the blessed hope. But tonight the Lord just going to let me feel like I'm just going to get to preach on one of those thoughts. You'll say, oh, that'll be quick then. Boy, it's going to be tough. I want to preach tonight on the blood, the precious of Christ. That's what we want to preach on tonight. Someone said to me one time, they came up and said, you know, preacher, I trust that you will not put too much emphasis on the blood. And my response was, you can be assured that I won't put too much emphasis on the blood, because that ain't possible. They weren't happy with that statement. I was in Cherokee, North Carolina, and I saw one of those Indians over there with his headdress. I walked by one of them shops. It's been a while back. He went, how? And I said, by the blood. He kept on walking. He looked at me like I was an idiot. That's how. By His precious blood. You stand with us tonight, please. We'll read in 1 Peter chapter 1. We will be studying the Word of God tonight. I had someone who actually said to me, said, preacher, these Bible studies, a lot of Bible turning, a lot of flipping pages. That's good. What I think about it. I don't think they weren't happy with Bible study time on Sunday night, flipping pages and going through scriptures. Well, I think we need it, don't you? I think we need it. He says in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I want to build out of verses 18 and 19. We'll try to major on verse 19 where it says, the precious blood of Christ. That'll be our theme tonight. Boy, praise God, it ought to be our theme every day. The blood of Christ. Father, we ask tonight you'd help us with preaching power. And I ask, Lord, that you'd give us the words that you'd have us to say. Father, I do want to say this evening that we're in way over our heads tonight to stand to preach this message before this people. I realize, God, the blood of Christ has more power and is deeper, Father, than I could ever make it or that I could ever proclaim it. God, I could never lift it high enough. Lord, I'm going to ask tonight, Father, that you would help us, Lord, that we'd preach, Father, the words that you give us, Lord, because we're needing your help this evening. And I pray, God, you would help us, Father, as we stand in need of your touch, and we stand in need, Father, to hear the words and apply them to our life. And Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for the very power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the blood that saved me. And God, we thank you for that precious gift of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, for not only for my sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And I pray tonight, God, you'd help us to preach it, help us to proclaim it, help us, Father, to teach its precepts. For Lord, we're asking it in the name of our blood-stained Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We'll say as I begin tonight that I was listening to the choir sing that second song back there a minute ago. And I'll be honest, I thought I heard a trumpet. And I actually looked over at Linda to see if she'd hit a trumpet button or something on the organ, because all I heard was a trumpet. Did y'all hear a trumpet tonight? Anybody? She heard it too. What about that? I'm telling you, I heard a trumpet. You're looking at me like I'm a fool. That's all right. I heard it. I know what I heard. I'll never forget that night. We was over at the Austin Center having church on a Sunday night. And I heard something, y'all. When I got up, I heard something. And I jumped off the platform because it scared me so bad for what was behind me. I thought everybody in the whole place could hear it. I don't know if it was just heaven's choir or heaven's trumpeter. But I'm telling you what, tonight when y'all singing that second song that y'all singing, and even into the third one, I heard a trumpet. I did hear the trumpet. You may say, well, preacher, you've lost your mind. Well, I heard it. And boy, it sure was good to hear. It blessed me tonight. Now, I'm not super spiritual. I know that I'm a big dummy, and maybe I'm hearing things. But don't bother me, and don't hem me up. I did enjoy it. I've got to do it this way. And I say this, as I was getting ready to read the scripture there a minute ago, all of a sudden, I started hearing interference. Did y'all hear that? Come on now, Brother Matt heard it. Somebody else hear interference? John Jackson said he heard it back there around the sound system. We heard the interference, didn't we? Yes, we did. Might not all heard the trumpet, but we heard the interference. And see, I thought, as we was reading the scripture, I said, that's the devil. He's trying to jump right in the middle of this thing, trying to bring in some interference, because just a minute ago I heard a trumpet, and I was just about ready to get plumb about pot near excited, and the devil started trying to run interference in here, even when we read the scripture, and even when I was trying to pray, I heard it pop a time or two. And you probably say, well, that's just a preacher spitting on the microphone. No, the devil's trying to run interference tonight. He don't like the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates it. That's why them people said to me, I hope you don't put too much emphasis on the blood. Hey man, it's the blood, the blood, the blood. Had another person say to me one time, said, preacher, you preach salvation all the time. Amen. Said, I hear you every time. I mean, you preach Wednesday night, Sunday morning, salvation, trying to get it in there, don't you? I said, yeah. But usually I ain't looking to try to get it in there. Usually it just works its way right in there because it's from God. And they said, well, I think you made your own salvation too much. I said, well, if you get saved, you'd get over your trouble. Amen. Amen. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows through the lowest valleys. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountains, and it flows through the lowest valleys. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Amen. Now, I'm not a singer, but that's what the Lord told me to do as I get started tonight, and I'm just trying to be obedient. In these verses, first of all, as we look at verses 17 through 21, majoring on verses 18 and 19, I see, first of all, where the writer of the Scripture says in verse 19, the Holy Ghost says, it's the precious blood of Christ. Precious, meaning it is of value. It is of great value. It is beyond any earthly value, and you cannot put any earthly price tag or merit upon the blood of Christ. And tonight that gets me thinking about the sustaining power of the blood. I want to turn back tonight in the book of Leviticus chapter 17 and study about this sustaining power of the blood. He says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. They made a discovery years and years ago that it is the blood that actually carries the oxygen through the bloodstream to each and every cell in your body, and that goes second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, as God blesses us. And this blood that flows through our bodies that carries this nourishment and feeds each cell, amen. Certainly the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ feeds and nourishes us, amen. And at the same time, they also discovered that that blood that carries the oxygen to nourish all the cells also carries off all the waste of the cells. You might say the garbage. And it takes it and brings it maybe back to the lungs and deposits it there, and we exhale it. It's called carbon dioxide. And we exhale it. It is amazing that the same vehicle that brings us nourishment also is the same vehicle that carries off the trash. Now, I think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He nourishes us and how He also carries off the trash, amen, and gets rid of the waste product called sin, glory, hallelujah, when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of atheists tonight that deny the blood, and they deny the book, and they do deny the blessed hope. And they certainly hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe that He was a real person. They believe He was a counterfeit. But I want to say tonight, you read this scripture where it says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and you take the loudest atheist that there is, and you remove all the blood from his body, and he'll die. Because, you know why? Because the Word of God says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is. No blood, no life. Amen. Now, years ago, doctors felt like that one's blood was a carrier of many diseases. And they practiced the common practice of their day called bloodletting. Y'all ever heard of that? Where you'd go and blood somebody. What, preacher? Oh, yeah, they thought if they could get enough blood out of their system that their body would make new blood and the body would be refreshed and replenished and it would be disease-free. And there were thousands, probably millions of people who died because the doctors overbled somebody and the body couldn't recover and many people died. In fact, George Washington, y'all ever heard of him? Our great president had a major throat infection and the doctors came and bloodlet him. They took 2.5 quarts of blood out of his body. And your body only holds about 5 quarts. So they drained his body of half his blood and within just a few days he died. Not of the throat infection, but because that overblooded him. Now, Jesus and God has taught us in the Word of God that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if them no-account doctors had read that, they would have known, amen, that you and I need blood in our body if we're going to be able to live. Amen. Certainly, we realize tonight that without the blood of Jesus Christ, there'd be no life eternally for you and me. And tonight, His blood is the sustaining blood for you and I. Second of all, in this same verse, I think about sacrificial blood. Back there in 1 Peter, we read that the blood of Christ was as of a lamb. And we realize that lambs without spot, without blemish, without spot, without blemish, they were sacrificed. And read here in verse 11 a little more. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You see, friend, to atone means to cover. It is the blood, according to the Scripture, that makes atonement for your soul or for the soul. You see, sin costs us. And the high priest would have to go and take the blood of a lamb, shed that lamb's blood, and take it and collect it, and bring it and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat once a year for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Certainly that lamb is having to make a sacrifice so that our sins may be atoned for, that our sins may be covered. What were our sins covered by? Covered by nothing less than sacrificial blood. I get to thinking about that sacrificial blood over in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. If you'd turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 9. Over the years, year after year, these high priests would offer the blood of those lambs. And there's no doubt that each and every one of those lambs, every one of them, hundreds, thousands of them, that were made sacrifice, each one was pointing or a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world, that would come. They were all pointing toward Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, in verse number 11, we see this sacrificial blood. But Christ,
being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It was our Savior Jesus Christ who gave a one-time sacrifice of His own life and sacrificially gave His blood that you and I might be set free. We realized just a minute ago that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And as Jesus' blood was shed from His body there, no longer could the body live. And He had to give up the ghost, and the body just died there on the cross. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. That blood that flowed down the cross and fell upon the ground there is precious blood tonight to you and me. Hallelujah. On the third day, we realize after Jesus was buried in the tomb there that He was raised up again. And we know that He took the blood, y'all, and He stood before the mercy seat, which is by the throne in glory over by the Holy of Holies. And seven times He sprinkled His own precious sacrificial blood upon that mercy seat. That mercy seat that was crying out, judgment, 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 now has the blood upon on top of it. You realize that that blood has atoned for our sins. Now that blood, amen, has caused judgment to cease. And now He looks at us and says, I'm satisfied. I'll send mercy, hallelujah, and grace because of the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's been a lot of people that's made sacrifices. I've heard people down through the years that's made sacrifice after sacrifice. But there's never been a sacrifice offered, never been a sacrifice given that could dare compare to the precious sacrifice that our Savior gave of a sinless, spotless one for one that's a sinful man like I am and like you are. Imagine that. He that was holy and He that was harmless and He that was perfect and was innocent without sin gave His life a substitute, a sacrifice, so that an old sinner, wretched and vile like me, could go free. Every drunk on the bar stool, every prostitute and every drug addict tonight could be gloriously saved if they had just come by the sacrifice that our Savior made. Well, we see His sustaining blood, and we see His sacrificial blood. We've mentioned it. He's talked about the precious blood of Christ. I want to say thirdly tonight in those scriptures in 1 Peter, I believe it is shed blood, number three. It was shed blood. I realize there's a wonderful song that's been written. I'll not bring up its name, but in the words of that song, it talks about His blood being spilt upon the ground. Let me tell you, at the house, I got in the refrigerator and I turned over the milk and it hit the floor and it made a mess years ago. And boy, it stunk to high. I mopped it and it stunk to high heaven anyway. I spilt that milk. That was an accident. Been some of you spilt lemonade or iced tea. Been sometimes you've been embarrassed and done it at a restaurant and said, oh, clumsy, foolish me, I needed to have one of them little kids' lids on what I had. Why'd that happen? Because you spilt it. But our Savior's blood was not spilt blood. He wasn't no accident that happened. This was not beyond His control. He's in sovereign control. Each and every one of those soldiers that smacked Him and spit upon Him and as they nailed Him there, they're not in control of the situation. Jesus was in perfect control because He was allowing this to happen that His blood might be shed, that you and I'd be set free. I want to say just something about shed blood tonight in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Shed blood. Genesis chapter 4. We remember the story about Cain and Abel. Abel had offered a sacrifice and Cain had offered a sacrifice and God was well pleased with Abel's sacrifice because he gave the lamb. He came by the blood. The sacrifice was by blood. You realize tonight that there's no other way to get to Jesus? No other way to get to heaven but by the blood?
Yes, sir. Yes, preacher.
Well, preacher, I think I've got another way.
Bless you, Lord.
I
think, preacher, that I can come through the baptismal pool. The scriptures we're reading tonight don't say anything about coming through the baptismal pool. Well, you're going to say, well, Jesus came by water and blood. That's because when they run the spear in His side, out came water and blood. Well, preacher, I think I can come through the lodge that I'm joined up with. There ain't eternal life in your lodge. I'm just telling you, I don't care if you're a lodge member or not, but there's not eternal life in it. You've got to be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. I preached that in one church one time. Well, I preached it in my own church. Zion Hill Baptist Church in Zirconia, North Carolina, down next to Tuxedo. I preached along them lines, and I got jacked up right out there on the very front porch by a man that said he had eternal life in a lodge. You can join a lodge if you want to. That don't bother me. But when you say that you got salvation and eternal life in it, that's false doctrine. And I'll tell you, you better read the book, amen, the Word of God, what it says, not your manual. The Word of God ought to be your manual, amen. Now, you think here for just a second with me, according to the book of Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Cain decided, I won't come by the blood. I realize the blood has been required, but I'll come another way. I'm going to come by the first fruits of my garden and of my field. I'm going to bring all these precious first fruits, and I'm going to offer them the Lord. And God turned up His nose to him because he didn't come by the blood. Right there is the first false doctrine you see in the Word of God. And our churches are literally filled with false doctrine. People that think, well, it takes something else. It takes Jesus' blood plus nothing else. If you come by something else, y'all, it's a cult. It's a false doctrine. If you, well, I think it's in taking the Lord's Supper. That's something that you do. And if it's something that you do, it won't save you. Well, I think I'll come by the offering plate. That won't work either. I think I'll come by the baptism pool. It's something I can do. You might feel better by something you can do, but it won't get you in, amen. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can pay. It is a gift, amen, and it must be received. Thank God for the precious blood tonight. Well, Cain didn't like what God said. And God said, listen, if you'd come like your brother, come by the blood. If you'd take one of those little lambs and come by the blood, everything would be all right. Well, Cain got mad about it. So mad about it, according to verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 4, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. I'm telling you what, that man was so mad at me on the front porch that night, he could have killed me. My wife was standing right over there. You should have seen him charging me, coming to me. He looked at me to strike me and to hit me. I've had my cars dinged up, bent up, people ramming their fists into it, dumping my truck full of trash. I've been mistreated from time to time in a few places. I know what I'm talking about tonight. And I'm just as certain as I'm standing here that there's probably somebody under the sound of my voice. I don't know if you're in attendance in this crowd tonight, but if you're listening by way of tape or radio or internet or something, or CD, you may be disagreeing with me, but you get out the old Bible and read what it's got to say. Don't listen to what I say. You read what the Bible says. Amen. Cain got so mad at his brother Abel, because Abel came by the blood, and he got so mad at God that he decided he was going to kill Abel. And the Bible says in verse 8 that he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Boy, he's a liar. He knew exactly where his brother was. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You realize that Abel's blood was blood that was shed. And that blood that was shed was speaking. And it was crying out. And God heard it. That's interesting tonight. Tonight I sit right there and I ask y'all, did y'all hear a trumpet? Many of you looked at me, no, but somebody, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall everything be. Somebody said, preacher, I heard a trumpet too. I wasn't alone in that. I wasn't alone in that. Now you hear me tonight. I heard a trumpet. I don't know if God's just trying to allow that to happen so He'd set this up, but God heard Abel's blood crying from the ground. What do you believe His blood was crying? Have you ever heard blood cry from the ground? Well, I didn't believe I had until I got in my study this afternoon and I began to hear a cry. Abel's blood was crying out from the ground for justice, for revenge, for vindication, for vengeance.
for righteousness to be executed. Did you realize, according to the Scripture, the blood crying out is in the Word of God, is alluded to at least 20 different references? I could read you another place over here in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll go there and look at it here in just a second. But I want to say this. Every murder victim in this country, their blood's crying out. 46 million babies that's been aborted from their mother's womb. Their blood is crying out. I don't care which show you watched and debate you watched about this president election or a candidate or this president candidate. Let me tell you, according to the Word of God, that life begins at conception. And that little child inside the womb has blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when that doctor goes in there and aborts that fetus, amen, that is murder. And I'm telling you what, the blood is crying all over this country for vengeance sake and for righteousness sake, for vindication because of what this country's done. And our laws say it's legal for you to have an abortion. That's right. Don't even have to have parental consent. Just can go get it. That's the law of our nation. Don't you think our nation is going to be charged for the blood that it shed? We are just like Cain, shedding innocent blood and saying, am I my brother's keeper? I mean, that young lady made a decision. I'm just doing what she wanted to do. It's legal, and that must make it okay. Hey, just because it's legal in this land don't mean God agrees with your decision to do that. Preacher, you're going to fire me up in a minute. Let me read something to you out of Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. The very first one is a lying tongue. And I think it was number two or number three on the list that says, hands that shed innocent blood. God hates it. God Almighty charges this nation. Not only does He charge this nation, sir, but He charges you. When you go to the ballot box and you check yes for your candidate, you're agreeing with his stand. I think I just hit it out of the park. I want to say tonight that we are responsible for the decisions that we make and for the people we put in to protect our laws. And I'm telling you what, blood is special to God. And it's up to God to take life or to give life, not up to you or me. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 has something to say, and I think it's interesting, man, about this blood that's crying out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. You can look at this two different ways tonight. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith, verse 4, offered by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. What was his sacrifice? It was blood. By witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. There's a semicolon. And by it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's blood is still crying out for vindication. 46 million babies in this country. Blood in every city just about. Murders all over our nation. We talk about how many soldiers die in Iraq. There's as many dying in Detroit cities than as there are in Iraq and Afghanistan. But they never put that on the news, what's going on in our big cities in New York, Detroit, some of these. But there's murder. And their victims are crying out. Can I say this to you tonight? Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross was innocent blood that was shed. Oh, He gave His life, but we murdered Him. They yelled and screamed at our Savior, crucify Him! Crucify Him! You may say, I would have never done it. More than likely, if you and I would have been in that pack, we'd have been screaming the same thing. You may look at me and say, I disagree. Well, your sin said it. When you lied and did the things you did, your sin said, crucify him, crucify him. And his innocent blood was shed. In fact, Matthew 26:28, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said, this is the blood of my New Testament, of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I believe tonight that that blood of Jesus was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And I believe his blood is crying out tonight. Listen, preacher, that's been 2,000 years at least since that happened. Surely that blood's got old. It's decomposed. It's beginning to smell, preacher. Maybe it's getting crusty. Maybe it's drying up there, preacher. I'm telling you what, that blood, it's on the mercy seat. It's still that crimson flow, amen, draw from Emmanuel's veins. And ever sinner plunged beneath that flow, lose all their guilty stains. That blood still has saving power, amen, and cleansing power. That blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it cries out some things tonight. Preacher, you're crazy. Well, I just said Abel's blood speaking. Our Savior's blood speaking. What about Colossians chapter 1? We're just doing Bible study tonight. Y'all said amen. Most of you did. When I said we'll do a little Bible study, you said amen. That'll be all right. Let's study what his blood might be saying. Turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. I believe his blood's crying this out. I believe it says, peace, 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 peace. I was a dirty, rotten sinner. And I was at enmity with God. I had no peace. I was living a counterfeit life. But when I got under Calvary's flow and he saved my soul and washed my sins away, he gave this old boy peace. He didn't give me peace like the world gives, but he gave me peace, amen, that passes all understanding. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 says, and having made peace, you see it? Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. We've made peace with you tonight. And that blood still's crying out to somebody. You can have peace, peace, peace with me through the blood which I've shed for you. You know what else I think it says? I think it cries out tonight from the mercy seat and says, forgiven. Forgiven. Come, draw near and get under the flow and your sins can be forgiven. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22. I believe that shed blood cries out tonight. I believe it was the Holy Ghost of God that came and spoke to me about being saved. I believe it was the Holy Ghost that brought me to the Lord, and the Lord put me under His blood. Boy, that blood was speaking to me the whole time, and I didn't even know it, about His peace and about His forgiveness. The Bible says in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Shedding. His blood was shed. Innocent blood. It was, glory to God, given and cries out tonight that we can be forgiven. Our sins can be purged and washed away. Praise God for that. It does not say, and without baptism there's no remission. It does not say, and without joining the church. It does not say, and without taking the Lord's Supper. It says one thing and one thing only. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Well, preacher, I believe different than that. We'll take it up with him. But I believe we're looking at the Scriptures here. It says something else in chapter 13. Look with me in verse number 20. I believe it's saying forever. Forever. I believe it's preaching to us eternality. The blood of Jesus Christ says you can be saved and be saved forever. Look at Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Through the blood of what? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You realize that when God saved you through the blood of Jesus, He made you a promise. He said, I've given to you eternal life and you'll never perish. Have you ever seen God break a promise? Not one. Not one. The Bible says every one of these words, every promise will one day be fulfilled. Every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled of the Word of God. And when He made us a covenant, it's an everlasting covenant. He said, one day I'm going to bring you to where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. Glory to God. How are we going? By the blood. By the shed blood that cries out the night, come and receive forever. Receive eternality. Well, look with me in chapter 12 while we're there real close. Look at verse 24. And we talked about Abel's blood speaking and crying out. And we talked about Jesus' blood speaking and crying out. And I don't know if you agree with me or not, but look at verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel told us about we need to come by blood. Jesus, a blood of a little lamb. Jesus said, I am that lamb. And you come by my blood. Amen. Not Abel's blood. Abel couldn't save you. You come by my blood. Amen. You can be saved forever. Fourthly tonight, when we look there in 1 Peter, we've seen the sustaining blood. It's precious of value. The sacrificial blood of a lamb. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. What about the sinless blood? The Bible said he was as of a lamb without spot, and without blemish and without spot. Go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus' blood was sinless blood. You see, it was going to take a sinless sacrifice. According to the Old Testament, they would take a lamb that they deemed to be without spot or without blemish, and they'd put it up for 3 days. And they'd watch it for 3 days to make sure that it didn't have some sickness that they didn't know about or some scar on it. And they'd watch it real close for 3 days. Our Savior was put in a tomb for 3 days. It was watched real close. But on the third day, amen, early that morning, hallelujah, He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, y'all, I believe tonight that He's a sinless sacrifice. Look at verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This illustration came to me a long time ago about a little lamb and how it stood there with its little innocent eyes bleeding. And when that high priest would take that lamb, he would take that little lamb and put his hand upon him and take a knife and go right up underneath his throat. And what he was doing was he was placing the sins of the people and their guilt on that lamb that had done nothing wrong. And in turn, it had to give its life because the wages of sin is death. And he transferred the guilt of sins onto that little lamb. And that little lamb, with its little innocent, harmless life, and its harmless eyes looked and said, you do this to me, and you transfer to me your guilt. I've done nothing wrong, and I transfer to you my innocence. Boy, I'm glad tonight that Jesus on the cross. When I made Him mine there that night, down there at the Balfour Baptist Church, and I called on Him, I transferred to Him the guilt of all my sin, all the words I'd said and the actions I'd done that I was so sorry for. And He transferred to me His innocence. Woo! Forgiven tonight. Woo! Not guilty. Glory. Hallelujah. He gave to me eternal life through that one sacrifice that was given. Glory. Hallelujah. And I don't deserve anything, but boy, He sure has been good to me. I read over there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Boy, as a little preacher boy's son, I'd looked around and I'd heard the message and heard the message, and I'd kick that thing around and try to figure out. And I'm telling you what, I deemed Him as worthy. I deemed Him as my Savior and my Lord, my King, my Master. Boy, and I'm thankful for Him tonight. He's the sinless one. Let me say last of all, in the book of Romans chapter 5, the Bible said over there in 1 Peter that we were redeemed by His blood. Not only is it sustaining blood and sacrificial blood and shed blood and sinless blood, but it's saving blood tonight. Hallelujah. The book of Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. We can quote these to you. I know, and you can quote them to me. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. You know that word means this, and you've heard it before. Just as if I'd never sinned. When I came to him that night on July the 13th, 1978, and I confessed to him all the things that I'd ever done, glory to God. When he forgave me, he looks at me just as if I'd never sinned. I knew I had. The devil knew I had. People knew I had. But God said, it's forgiven and it's over. You've been justified. And I'm going to be saved from the wrath to come. Not through my baptism. Not through my church membership. Not through giving and tithing to the church. No. By Him. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Glory, hallelujah. I get a thing over there in Revelation chapter 1. I want to turn there real quick. We read to you there where it says, God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did he do that? Because he loved us. He died for us because he loved us when we were yet sinners. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, look with me at the B part of that verse. It says, unto him that loved us. He loved us when we were yet in our sins. And not only did he love us, but when we came to him, amen, his Bible says, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The word washed there is the word luo, which means a complete washing. From head to toe, all sins are washed away. I could take you over there to John chapter 13, do a little word study with you. When Jesus came and washed their feet, it was a different word. It was the word nephthai, and it means just to wash a part of the body. But Jesus, when he washed that part of the body, he says, when I've washed you, you're clean every whit. Not just your feet, but you're clean. All of you is clean, glory to God. And when we come to Jesus through his blood, he forgives all of our sins. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We know this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, I remember the old story there of the woman whose son had run away from home. She'd been looking for him and going house to house trying to find him, but she could not find him. She made posters and put them outside of some of the taverns and some of the city's government buildings, and still her son was not ever found. She kept going to church. Years had passed. And on a Wednesday night, she's standing there talking to the preacher before the prayer meeting service. She didn't quit serving God just because her boy ran away. She said, I'll keep serving him. Amen. I'm going to keep serving him. She said she turned around and looked and walked into the back of the church was a long-haired, dirty, wretched man who smelled of garbage and alcohol. And she saw him as he walked through the building, and he came around to this section to my right, and he sat on the third row. She said, I recognized him. Even though his hair wasn't long when he left, and he was nice and clean the last time I saw him, I recognized him as my boy. I'd been looking for him all these years. She said, do you know what I did? Do you think I ran over to him and slapped him through the face and said, son, where have you been all these years? How could you disgrace me? How could you shame me? How could you treat me as such? I raised you better than this. No. She'd been looking for him a long time. And she ran over to where he was and wrapped her arms around him and began to caress him and kiss him on his cheek and said, my son is home. You know why she did that? Because she loved him. Even though he was a sinner, that was her boy, and she loved him. When the preacher preached that night and gave the invitation, he was the first one up and into the altar, and he got saved. You know what? He got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He went home with his mama that night, and he took a good old warm bath and got to sleep with a good old roof over his head for the first time. And I thought about that verse where it says, unto him that loved us. He loved us when we were yet in our sins.
when I was cussing and doing things I ought not to do, do you know what he did? He came and loved me and died for me. Oh, glory to God. When you was out getting drunk and shooting up drugs and you was singing all that old rock and roll music and doing your honky-tonk dancing and living the life the way you wanted to, going to every riverboat and gambling all around the place, you know what he did? He loved you and died for you. No matter the fact that you were a hot gut sinner, he loved you. And in one day, glory to God, when he didn't have to, he came to you with a message that I love you and I died for you. If you'd come to me, I'll save you, glory to God. And when you came and bowed on your face before him, he got out mercy and grace by his precious blood. And he forgave you and saved your soul and gave to you eternal life and access to God the Father. Glory to God, that ought to excite us to death. He's been so good to us by his shed blood. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Nobody ever could give such a sacrifice. Not my mama, not my daddy, but my Savior gave his holy life that I might be saved. And I thank you for that tonight. Bless his holy name. I want to close with this. Two scriptures. 1 John chapter 1. As a Christian, there are times that I still sin and make mistakes. Transgress against God. Brother Thad Dowdle, that great man of God, said he and his grandson were walking. And he asked his grandpa, he said, Grandpappy or Papa or whatever he called him. He's talking about asking questions about salvation. And said, Grandpappy said, the Bible says all have sinned. And he looked up at him and he said, Grandpappy, you have sinned? He said he felt like that was holy ground because that little boy looked up to him like he was perfect and he had never made a mistake. And he said, in that place, I humbled myself and said, son, I'm a sinner. And it was Jesus that forgave me and saved me and changed my life. And he said, my little grandson got saved too. Hallelujah. I want to say tonight, amen, there's not one of us in this building that's perfect. If you think and say you are, you're lying. And that just broke your streak. According to 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How is our sin forgiven? By His blood. His blood that cries out forgiveness. It cries out tonight if you've wronged somebody or said something or done the wrong thing and it's not put under Calvary's flow, you can do that tonight. That word cleanseth is a present tense word. Not cleansed, past tense. It's cleanseth. I'll still forgive your sins is what he says. I'm glad his blood's still active tonight, ain't you? His blood's still crying out, glory to God. One more place in Hebrews chapter 10 and we close. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. You know what He's saying right there? He says, we can come boldly into the holiest. We can come right to the very throne of Almighty God. He that's holy. And we that are sinners at best. We've got access. I don't have access to Bush, President Bush. I don't have access to the governor of the state of North Carolina. No. But I've got access to heaven. I've got access to the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how is that granted to me? Because you're his good old buddy, because you're his bosom pal, no. I come by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, by a new and living way. A living, that new way is the blood of Jesus. Not those old animal sacrifices anymore, but the new way is by the blood of Jesus. And it's a living way. You know what? His blood's alive tonight. You're looking at me funny like you don't believe it's alive. This book's alive. Yes, sir, God breathed upon this book. It's inspired, and it's alive tonight. And the Holy Ghost is alive and inside you tonight. Yes, He is. And I'm telling you what, His blood is very much alive. And He's sitting on the right hand of God. He's very much alive. God's not dead. He's on a holy, holy throne, amen, tonight. And we've got access to a most high and a holy throne through the blood of Jesus Christ.
And all I've got to do is just come by faith. And I'm going to have access. And I can have power to seek His face and to call on His name. Boy, and He'll strengthen me and help me and maybe even change events to help. He can do all that. And how can I come? By the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You stand with me tonight. I don't really know how to close, but I do want to say this. I'm real glad tonight that I've had a divine encounter with Jesus, the Son of God, and His shed blood. I'm glad, glory, hallelujah, it's atoned for my sins, and it's forgiven me. Glory to God for that. I want you to bow your head tonight. I don't know the needs of the service. I'm going to turn it over to God and the Holy Ghost. Might be somebody here saying, boy, I want to come and have access to the throne by the blood, preacher. I want to come up there and be thankful. I want to thank Him for His sacrifice. I want to thank Him for His shed blood. I don't know what you need to do, if anything, tonight. And I'm asking you, would you come? Would you come? Might be somebody saying, preacher, I'm waiting on a pianist to come. Listen, if the Holy Ghost ain't big enough to bring you tonight to be thankful, if the Holy Ghost ain't big enough to tell you, say, you know what, this problem you got in your life, you can come before the throne of God and you can come by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Would you come by faith tonight and pray? What do you need to do tonight? I want you to mind Him tonight. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? Our Father and our God, Lord, tonight, as we come to You, God, we bow before You, having access to come in boldly before Your throne. It's a throne of grace. Lord, it's one that You said we could obtain mercy at and find grace to help in a time of need. And You said, God, we can come into there, into that throne room, and bow right before You by the power of the blood of Your Son. That blood that's atoned for our sins, that means my sins are covered. They're put under Calvary's flow. Lord, I ask You, God, would You bless these dear people? God, would You touch their businesses? Pray, God, You'd bless them on their jobs. Bless their health. Bless their family. God, I pray tonight that You'd hear their prayer requests, God, their petitions, God, that they've been asking about their mothers and their dads and their grandparents, God, praying for their youngest, Lord, that You'd protect them. God, I know that You said, You made us a promise that when we'd seek Your face and call on You in prayer, that You'd hear us and You'd answer us. And Lord, we do that again tonight by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we come here to say, Lord, God, we thank You for saving us. When we were just old sinners, wretched and unclean, Lord, You came and You died on the cross and You were buried and rose again on the third day. God, it was with my actions and my words that You carried up Calvary's hill. God, Your Son was nailed there. There was a superscription they put over His head, the King of the Jews. Oh, God, it was my sins when they drove the nails into His hands and His feet. It was my sins that nailed Him there. And God, tonight I thank You for that. And Lord, I praise tonight, God, that He made the ultimate sacrifice and paid the ultimate price. So tonight, God, to me, precious, precious is the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody ever will, and I know it. Lord, I'm going to be thankful. And God, I'll spend the rest of eternity because You've given me eternal life. I read over there in John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54, that You've given me eternal life. And God, You've given me power of resurrection. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for all that. Lord, now I pray, God, You be with these folks. Keep us safe as we return to our respective homes. God, we ask these favors and this thanks we make known in the name and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Your precious Son. Amen and amen.